Hey, it's Dave, and before we get into this week's podcast, a bit of a warning. We had some technical issues. Number one, lost about the first 10 minutes or so of the original audio, so we had to recapture it off our YouTube video. Doesn't sound quite right. And number two, little bandwidth issues. I kept on dropping out. Hopefully that will be solved next week, and we'll be back in business. Thanks, as always, for listening, and on with the Alien Invasion Podcast. Activate the view screen and turn on your universal translators, because it is time for another Galactic Netcast.
Interrupt this program to give you a bulletin just received from one of our naval units at sea. A large object traveling at supersonic speed is headed over the North Atlantic toward the east coast of the United States.
This earth of yours will be reduced to a burned-out cinder.
This could be the beginning of the end for the human race. Human beings cower before the onslaught of these unearthly enemies.
It is Thursday, January 23rd, 2013. Welcome to, what did I just say, 2013?
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
That's a combination of 2014 and 2013. I just made a new number.
2013, nice.
In between period, transitional period.
Yeah. This is the Alien Invasion, number 93, temporarily living in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis, St. Paul. I've moved from Invergrove Heights to Eagan, Minnesota. I'm Dave Olaf Nelson, joining me this week, this evening as always, from Wausau, Wisconsin, Brad Sven Ludwig and Anessa Marshmallow Moyens from Denton, Texas. How you guys doing?
Doing good, Dave. How are you?
Good. You guys like my baseball motif behind me?
Is that twin stuff?
Yeah, a little Torrey Hunter action right there.
Ah. Like that.
I'm in my nephew's old room, so it's all his old stuff in here.
Makes sense.
Yeah, but I'm not complaining because I have a roof over my head. I'm not in a gutter.
And you can play darts at any time.
Yeah, he just looked at the dartboard in the background.
Darts, and that's a basketball hoop behind that, too. You open it up, and it's a basketball hoop.
Sweet.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Don't even have to go outside to play basketball.
No, you wouldn't want to because it's cold as hell. Right, Brad?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, it is. Check local listings.
Like the where we are in the world, it's like the coldest it's been for years. And like tonight is the coldest, or last night was the coldest.
Don't call it a comeback.
It's been here for years.
Yeah, by the way, I saw Monday's forecast. Monday even colder. So, yay.
What's the forecast for tonight?
Our temperature is warming up, actually. It's warming up overnight. I don't know about Brad.
I was just curious, because I know when I was up in Wisconsin, it was like negative 27 or something.
It's cold and dreary-ish with a 90% chance of it being colder and dreary-ish.
And crappy.
So I was just curious.
Oh, hey, yeah, I suppose we're going to be hearing beep, beep. Sorry.
Yeah. Thanks for giving me more work.
Hey, you are welcome. I'm just going to swear right all through this mother effer.
S-E-F-F-S-F-S.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to make this
He's just trying to keep you
bluest podcast we've ever done, yo. Bam. Tear it up.
Speaking of the podcast, let's explain why we're here today. This is the show where we talk about beings from elsewhere in the universe and their appearances in film, TV, video games, comic books, and real life. The show sectioned off into three areas: the news, the creature feature, that's the spotlight of a certain kind of alien, and our picks for the week. If you want to watch us live as we record the show, follow Galactic Netcast on Twitter. We're also on Facebook and Google+. And I forgot to put the link on the live page. So if you're on the live page, you're not watching this tonight. we also have the archived video at youtube.com/galacticnetcasts. So did you find out what
it is currently 10 below, and with the wind, it feels like negative 27.
Oh, that's tropical.
That's Fahrenheit for our friends overseas, which, let's see.
Overseas and above us.
Mostly overseas.
Let's see, Fahrenheit to Celsius. So
above
we've
us,
got
just laughing at us.
Negative 27, which would be minus 32 Celsius currently for our friends that use metric.
I really got to learn that before I hear.
It's technically, that's not metric. That's just Fahrenheit and Celsius.
What is it in Kelvin? Just kidding.
I got a great idea. You guys want to know what it is?
What?
It's this.
In the news!
Yeah, and Anessa, in the pre-show, you were excited about what you're about to talk about.
I was, because it just seems so random of a mixture of the two things. Like, when you think NBA, what do you think about?
Overpriced athletes.
There you go. But when you
Marv
think
Albert.
NBA and overpriced athletes, do you think about aliens?
Yeah.
No, I don't. Be honest, Brad.
No, I mean, yes, I will be honest. The answer is no.
See, there you go. It's just such a random combination. GameZebo.com reviewed this Endless Runner, which is released for iOS about a week ago, and here's what they said about it. Well,
okay,
first,
wait,
I will give you the name of this Endless Runner. It's pro basketball players take on aliens in NBA Rush. So NBA Rush is the name of the game, and you play as a basketball player, and you are basically trying to save the world, battling against these aliens invading Earth. So you're trying to stop this alien invasion. I know, it's crazy. And we're never really told why NBA stars would be the proper people to help fight off the aliens.
But let me interject. Why not? Why not NBA players?
Why ask?
Well,
you
know, I'm thinking about it, and like, yeah, I would be okay with NBA players as long as they're not flop happy, trying to battle aliens because they've got the cardio thing down. They are able to jump like fairly well distances if need be. Their aim's pretty good because they always have to aim for a small circle with the basketball. So I would think that they would actually be fairly good at helping to battle aliens because they have to aim, they have to run, they have to multitask. And what does that say, Brad?
I'm installing it on my Android.
Oh, nice. So, yeah, I can see, I guess, how basketball players would be pretty good. So yeah, it has controls very familiar to anyone who's ever played anything in this genre of endless runners. On your devices, Android, iOS. So you swipe to either side to switch lanes. You swipe up to jump, down to slide under certain obstacles. And you'll notice how the players keep his dribble going at all times. And the reason he does is because, after all, you wouldn't want to be called for traveling or double dribbling under these dire circumstances.
Yeah,
so you have to have your priorities.
Yeah, the referee calls a foul, and in that time, the aliens might catch up to you. And,
exactly.
You don't want the aliens getting a three-point shot. I got nothing. I'm obviously not a sports guy. Okay, I will shut up now. Thanks.
So, along the way, players can pick up coins, but they can also try to defeat the aliens whenever possible. The ones on the ground can be defeated by jumping on them, which also gives you a boost to get on top of the otherwise unreachable places. Flying aliens are a little trickier, as you have to wait until you find a dunk icon to be able to smash their flying saucers with some seriously aggressive jams. Every defeated alien helps fill a meter, and when it's complete, you can double tap to tag in the next member of your three-man squad. All players have specific traits that come in handy, and it's all pretty silly if you stop to think about it, but that's not to say NBA Rush is without its appeal. So I downloaded this game in the pre-show while we were chit-chatting and whatnot, and then I just totally got distracted because it is actually an entertaining game. You are playing as a basketball player, and you're running along, and you're swiping and whatnot. And you've got, like, these – they resemble the grays because they've got the almond-shaped eyes, but they're a little on the green side, and they've got, like, these freaky-looking teeth. And the ones that are on the ground are in this machine that has like three rotating blades. And yeah, you do have to jump on it and you like flip and like smash down on them and then keep on running and dribbling the basketball like the entire time. These basketball players are awesome. And then when you hit the, it mentioned that there's like these, this big text that says dunk. And when you hit that, you basically jump and you're making a slam dunk, but you use your basketball to smash the crap out of the flying saucer. So it's actually a pretty entertaining game. At random, but it's entertaining.
So what do you give NBA Rush? What's your rating?
I don't know if I can really give it a rating because I played it for all of 30 seconds.
Well,
as I was getting familiar with the controls and whatnot.
Let's get 30-second rating. Initial impressions.
30-second rating, I would give it probably 3.5 out of 5. So
5 what?
Entertaining. That's 5 important. Stars. 5 jalapenos. I don't know. Okay. 5 UFOs.
5 slam dunks, yo.
Yeah.
5 slam dunks, yo.
5 grays slam dunks. You slam those grays. Right
out
there.
Of 5 basketballs.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. Way to go, Anessa. Thank you very much. Great story.
Woo!
All right. Let's move on to me. I've been waiting. I've been chomping at the bit. I've been very anxious to talk about this story. We almost talked about it last week.
A month.
We kind of talked about it last week, sort of.
It was mentioned.
Yes.
It was referred to.
Yes.
But that was about it.
All right, so here's the headline. Aliens exist, says Canada's former defense minister. Paul Hellyer went on Russia Today TV and declared, not only do aliens exist, but they walk amongst us and are responsible for some of our modern technology, including the microchip, LED, and Kevlar. Dun-dun-dun.
Scary!
This sounds really familiar. Like, I think that there's been people that have made this claim before, right? Right?
I'm pretty sure.
It's been the premise of movies and, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, of course, the whole claim of our technology being kind of harvested from alien technology, that's been around for a while, too.
I'm not saying that it's aliens, but it's aliens.
Wait, I'm not saying that it's aliens. Hang on. There we go. I'm not saying that it's aliens, but it's aliens. I got my hair pushed back, so it's kind of up like, what's his name?
Up.
What is that guy's name?
Giorgio Tsoukalos or something like that?
Okay. Aliens, dude! Ancient Aliens guy!
From Ancient Aliens!
Yep. Alright, so in the interview...
It's like the whole premise of the show.
Yeah. Why wouldn't it be aliens? Because you're on a show called Ancient Aliens. Come on.
They were talking about, like, ancient immigration issues.
Really? What?
I don't know. Aliens? Immigrants? Illegal? Illegales?
Okay.
I don't know.
All right. So in the interview on Russia TV, Hellyer said there are about 80 different species. 80 of them. And some of them look like us. Man, 80 different ones. That would be a lot of creature features if we could narrow down each 80 different species. That's 80 shows. I'm sure that we've covered some of them so far.
It looks like it.
Yeah. For example.
The Nordics.
The Nordics. He mentions the Nordics. Or tall whites is the other name for them. He believes they are in cahoots. Anytime anybody uses the word cahoots, I love it.
I know. It makes me giggle every time. It makes me guffaw whenever I hear it.
Apparently, the Nordics are in cahoots with the U.S. Air Force. They had a couple of their ladies dressed as nuns to go to Las Vegas to shop, and they weren't detected. That's how good. Yeah. But you know what? That's not a true test because it's Las Vegas, all right? You put them smack dab in the middle of the heartland, like somewhere up here in the upper Midwest, I think they might be detected. I'm just saying.
I don't know. This day and age, they could probably go unnoticed because everyone's really preoccupied with their cell phones.
That's true. Good point.
Or right now in Wisconsin, everybody's bundled up, as is Minnesota.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Good points. Good points, y'all.
We should probably take it down to Texas, out in the country where people aren't, like, within cellular reception.
They need to be on a beach without cell reception. That's the that's the true test right there.
Yep.
Okay. So, he said that these aliens would bestow upon us more technology, but our obnoxious behavior makes them feel that we don't deserve it. So basically, we're too much like childish to get the rest of their great technology that they could give us, but they won't.
Wah.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. You know, get our crap together and we'll be in business, you know?
Yeah. I guess we're not getting anything else from them.
No.
Anytime soon.
But we've got the possibility to. So maybe that should be a goal, right? Let's have peace. Let's make peace in the Middle East or wherever else. And stop polluting. Another possible thing that we could do to get this great technology, right? What else could we do as humans to strive to be better? Oh, less reality shows?
Yes.
God, that would be nice.
Yeah.
Although, totally off topic of aliens, but still reality show related, I noticed an article the other day that mentioned that the 16 and Pregnant show actually has helped reduce the number of teenage pregnancies.
Wow.
In the U.S.
Wow. Finally doing some good.
I think they canceled the show, though, so I don't know. But, yeah, they did a study, and they noticed while it was airing that the number of teen pregnancies actually decreased over time.
Because they were too busy. And they were too busy watching 16
they're
Pregnant.
Thinking because they actually saw these people on MTV being ridiculous as, you know, teenagers pregnant with kids, and they saw the issues that they were having, and they're like, I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want that to be me. So.
All right. Cool.
Well, thank God some good can be gotten out of reality TV.
The only reality show that I would watch if it were ever to be aired would be a new version of Battle of the Network Stars. And Brad, you may be familiar with that show.
Yeah.
Anessa, do you know what that is?
What was it?
Battle of the Network Stars.
No.
It's basically a bunch of TV and movie stars competing against each other in weird games. Like, kind of picture, what's that one? Wipeout. Picture Wipeout, but with celebrities. It's pretty much what it was. And it was more like team-oriented. Yeah.
Well, there's similar shows that'll have random celebrity episodes where they have them do weird challenges with a partner and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
For charities.
It's almost there. They just need to pull the trigger and just completely do an updated version of Battle of the Network Stars. That would be awesome. All right. Hey, we're not talking about aliens anymore, are we?
Nope.
All
right. So, okay, I have one more question to ask you guys about this story. What do you think the validity of this guy is? Do you think this guy is on the up and up? Or do you think he's like, hey, I'm going to go on Russian TV and watch me, like, totally, like, be weird and make up the story about aliens? What are the chances he did?
Or maybe he actually believes what he's saying.
Or maybe there actually
are. We don't know
his
state of mind.
Maybe there are actually aliens that live among us. Who knows?
Maybe there was some ergot in the vodka he consumed in Russia.
There was something that I read, though, that he's been talking, he's been saying this story for years. Like, he, I don't know.
Who knows?
Anyways, hey, you know what? We would love your opinion. Not your, not Anessa, not Orton, your Brad's, but the listeners.
Yeah, to hell with our opinions. Yeah. We want to get the listeners, well, I the people just, that actually sit through this.
I just asked you your opinion, and you gave it to me. So now it's the listeners' turn, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm shutting up now.
Okay, that's okay. GalacticNetcasts@gmail.com. That's our email address. Write us or talk to us on our voicemail. 805-328-3966. That's 805-328-3966. And leave a comment. Let us know if you think this guy is crazy, if you believe him. Do you believe that there's 80 different species of aliens walking amongst us? What do you think of this whole NBA Rush game? Have you played it? What do you think of it? Let us know with that feedback. Email galacticnetcasts@gmail.com or voicemail 805-328-3966. And we will have your feedback at the end of the show. We actually have an email that we'll be reading here at the end. So, something to look forward to. Okay, Brad, what do you got for us?
I'm going to start with a very, very important question.
I'm all ears.
For the both of you. For the both of you.
Okay.
Can you survive an alien invasion?
Oh, I would totally be dead.
I think I would have a better chance surviving at least a little bit longer during an alien invasion than a zombie apocalypse.
Why do you think?
Okay.
Why? What's the difference? What?
Cardio. No, I guess it just really depends on how the aliens go about their invasion techniques. If they're just going to start bombing everything or like setting down ships and then releasing a bunch of aliens to go find people and destroy them, or like what their methodologies are. So
okay.
Really just depends on how they decide to go about invading Earth.
Well, I think
if they're balls to the wall or just plan it out and take their time.
Well, I think Brad's got a pretty good way of figuring out if you would be able to survive an alien invasion.
Absolutely. Because nothing could possibly go wrong from a place that's called nerdtests.com.
Mm-hmm.
And they have put together a 10-question quiz to help you figure out if you would come out on top in an alien invasion. So we're going to go over some of the quick questions that they have available to figure this out. Questions like, how would you prepare for an alien invasion before aliens arrive? Would you pack food, water, medicine, and first aid? Look into survivor books, shows, and other stuff more seriously? Prepare your weapons? Run! Go somewhere! Anywhere! Except the fact that I'm going to die and enjoy the rest of my life? Or would you welcome the aliens in hopes that they were not hostile?
Okay.
So
I'm going to say
what would be your answer,
Dave? I'm going to be optimistic and say welcome aliens and hope they're not hostile. That's my answer.
All right. Anessa?
I'm going to go with pack food, water, medicine, and first aid.
Girl after my own heart. That's how I would answer as well. So let's go to one of the last questions here.
Okay.
Who would you take with you? Nobody, go alone. My family. Everyone close to me. Just my close friends.
Everyone close to you? That could be a lot of people.
Find someone that you probably don't know and go. My pets.
See, the last two have their advantages, because if it's somebody that you don't know, if they die, you eat them, right? And if it's your pets...
It depends on how they die, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Because, I mean, if it's like some toxic radioactive goop that the aliens spray them with, you're not going to eat it.
The Gutens goop. The green goop from the Gutens.
If it's the Gutens.
Yeah.
Probably don't want to eat their goo.
No, you don't. So,
prom theme.
Was that all the choices, Brad?
For that particular question, yeah. Yes. Okay. So nobody go alone. My family, everyone close to me, just my close friends. Find someone that you probably don't know and go. My pets.
I'm going to say my family.
Anessa?
I'm going to have to go with family. Unless I'm down here, then probably go alone. I don't know. Like, if I'm down here, maybe a couple of close friends. If I'm up there, then family.
Yeah, because you have a long way to go to get to your family, don't you?
Yeah, I've got like 7 hours to go to get to my family. So at that point, I'm just going to be like, all right, you and you, hop in the car. We're heading west out to like the middle of nowhere.
Good plan.
So there's
a number of these. There's 10 in all, actually.
Yeah, there's 10 questions.
Should we do one more just for the hell of it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You see an alien harvester vessel sucking up trees and animals for biofuel and research. What do you do? Run! Don't let him see you! Hide and hope you don't get sucked up.
That's the worst way to die.
Strap dead or dying bodies on a tree and hope the aliens suck it up and get infected by hostile Earth bacteria.
That's kind of a good idea.
There's a lot of moving parts on that question or that answer. Strap an explosive on it and hope the aliens suck it up and explode. Grab weapons and get sucked up to kill the aliens on board.
I'm going to go with the second to last one. Strap explosives.
Strap an explosive on it?
Yeah.
See, I'm wondering where it is that I would get the explosives. I'm going to have to say hide and hope you don't get sucked up.
Yeah, because you're depending on a lot there, right?
Right. You have to depend on the fact that you have an explosive. You have a way to detonate the explosive once it's out of your hands. And I think at that point, I would rather just hide, hope I don't get sucked up, and then I can tell other people what's going on, and then we can devise a plan. If they don't already know what's going on at that point.
Yeah, you need some people for a couple of these, I think.
You do. You need people to coordinate, and the other thing too, strap dead or dying bodies, you just assume that there's going to be dead or dying bodies out where you are.
Well, I think that you need to change the answer to who would you bring with you to everyone that you know to have the
alien bait.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Uh-huh. Sure.
All right. You've got a sinus infection. Come with me.
You're just the person I was looking
for. Hold this rope and stand next to this tree. I'll only be a minute.
Good idea. I like that. All right. So, yeah,
Oh, I'm sorry. Were you on the inside of the rope? Bye. I never liked you anyway.
I took this quiz all the way through, and I kind of half-assed it. Like, I put some weird answers, and I got 36%, and then a little message pops up says, you tried. So, apparently, I tried, and I died.
That's what it sounds like. They patted you on the head. Well, you know.
Yeah.
You gave it a good effort, but
Brad, did you take this? Did you take the test all the way through? Or are you?
I'm almost done.
Okay.
I feel like I need to take this as well.
I am on pins and needles waiting for your answer. In the meantime, hey, let's play a drop from the Alien Invasion soundboard, like this brand new one, courtesy of Anessa.
Aw, huh? Aw. Aw.
There we go. So, Dave, you said you got a 36?
Yes.
Guess what I got?
You got 49.
I'm going to guess 65.
84.
Oh, my God.
Oh, nice.
See, you were smart. See, I was just messing around. I was not serious about it. If I took the test seriously, I'd probably get a high score like you did.
So, if you are looking to have some fun and see if you can actually survive an alien invasion, you can go to nerdtests.com and do a search for it, or we're going to have a link posted in show notes, and you can click it and give it a whirl from there.
What was your answer? What would they tell you after your number?
What does it mean? You would survive for a long time, but not if the invasion were to go on forever. You would make it for years, but eventually you would die out.
Wow, that's not very optimistic.
Aww.
Did you take it, Anessa? Are you taking it?
I'm like halfway through.
Okay, all right. We'll you know, while you do
we'll
that,
we'll come back to it.
Yeah, we'll swing back around, okay, as they say. So, Anessa, what's your score? What'd you get?
I got a 71. Aww. So I would survive, just not nearly as long as Brad.
Well, you both did better than I did. I'd be dead right away. All right.
But you tried, and that's what matters.
Yes.
And now it's time for Creature Feature.
And the Creature Feature is our spotlight of a certain kind of alien from either, you know, science fiction, science fact, or, you know, the kind of aliens that people claim to be abducted by, like those Nordics or the Tall Whites. And this time around, we're going to do an alien from the world of sci-fi, and in particular, the world of Stargate. And there's a reason for that, which will be it'll be revealed at the end of this podcast. I'll just leave it at that.
What?
Yeah. All right. So, today's creature feature is the ancients from the world of Stargate. Did either of you guys ever watch Stargate?
I watched some of it.
I watched the movie.
Yeah, see, these guys were not in the movie. I don't think. The ancients are basically, well, maybe they were, because this is from Stargate, the TV series. And in the series, the ancients are the ones that set up the Stargates. And I don't remember in the movie if they ever touched on that, the actual people that set the Stargates up across or around the galaxy. Brad, you know? Do you know the answer?
Gosh, it's been a while. I know that when Daniel is in the cave translating everything, he does mention that the network was set up, at least between the world that they travel to and Earth.
Daniel, you mean Robert California?
Who?
The guy that played
Are you mixing movies?
No,
on me.
No, Robert California was a character on The Office, played by the guy that played Daniel from the movie. What's his face?
James Spader.
James Spader, yes. Who's now on the blacklist.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, I was just trying to be funny. I was trying to be clever.
Okay.
And it failed. And I'm gonna.
I never watched The Office, so I have no idea.
This is how I feel about my trying to be clever. Okay.
That's all right. That's kind of all I remember. Daniel in the cave going through stuff and discovering that, you know, a network had been set up.
Okay.
But that's as much. It's been a while since I've seen it.
Well, in the TV show, they expanded on that, and they made it that these ancients were the ones that set up the Stargates millions of years ago. They were a race of humans that were around way before we were. And when the ancients came to the Milky Way, they were known as the Altera. The group known as the Others are the ascended beings of the ancients, because the ancients eventually reached a point where they could ascend beyond their bodily, beyond their physical bodies. So those ancients who did not ascend to the Others died of a plague that swept through the galaxy a very long time ago. There was a group of ancients who left the Milky Way 5 to 10 million years ago and made a new home in the Pegasus Galaxy, and that's where Stargate Atlantis took place. And that was the reason for Stargate Atlantis was the search for, once they found out that there was this group of ancients that settled in the Pegasus galaxy, that was the reason for the next series, which was Stargate Atlantis. Some of the ancients who lived in the Pegasus galaxy returned to Earth 10,000 years ago and most likely influenced many of Earth's cultures. The ancients are the ancient ones whose language evolved into Latin, and Dr. Daniel Jackson identified them as those who were the builders of the roads spoken of in ancient writings.
There we go. Bam.
Yep. So, ancients, that's our creature feature this week on the Alien Invasion podcast. And you guys should really, if you ever get a chance to, I know it's not really readily available right now. Stargate was, all the Stargates for a long time were on Netflix, but they were pulled, unfortunately. But if you ever get a chance to, if they're on, I know, Anessa, you've got Amazon Prime, right?
Yep.
Should see if it's on there. Check it out.
I'm going to check, actually.
Check it out. I like Stargate a lot, especially Richard Dean Anderson playing Colonel, what's his face? Colonel something. Brad? Was it Jeff Bridges played him in the movie? Or one of the Bridges?
No, it was Kurt Russell that played him in the movie.
Okay, all right. But
it is available on Prime. You've got Stargate SG-1, you've got Atlantis, and Continuum.
Cool.
Jack O'Neill.
Yeah, Jack O'Neill. He's Richard Dean Anderson was brilliant on that show. That was the best part of Stargate SG-1 was the humor and the banter and the chemistry between all those guys. That's why I liked the show.
And Universe.
Yeah.
And Atlantis.
So it sounds like they got them all. So better get busy, Anessa.
So many shows to watch.
I know. It's a conundrum. It is a conundrum.
It is.
You know, why haven't we ever made a sound for picks, like an intro thing for picks?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Almighty ruler of the show?
Yeah, it would be up to me, wouldn't it? I'd be the one to do that.
Maybe.
I ask myself, maybe. Why haven't I done that? I don't know.
Maybe never thought of it before.
Yeah, that's possible.
Never gave it much thought.
All right, I believe Brad has one of the oldest picks that we've ever done on this show.
Actually, Anessa does.
That would be me.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Because
Brad's pick is fairly recent and really weird.
Yeah, okay. Actually, conversely, mine is probably the newest because this has just been released in the United States. It is a anime called Space Dandy. It is on the Cartoon Network, and it is an anime cartoon. And I'm going to look at IMDb's got like a brief rundown here. The cosmic and comic adventures of Space Dandy, a handsome space explorer tasked to tour the universe and discover new alien beings. So there's this guy. The whole thing, Space Dandy, is, from what I can tell, and I've only seen two episodes. It's on Hulu currently, and it's on, I think I just said it's on Adult Swim on Cartoon Network. It's kind of a tongue-in-cheek look at anime space-based programs before, like, what is it, GoGo 13 and Robotech. And, oh my God, one of my favorite shows of that genre.
You had me at Robotech, Brad.
And Anessa, we just talked about it.
Are you talking about, like, Cowboy Bebop?
Cowboy Bebop. Even the ship on the show looks like an amalgam of different, like, hero-based ships or ships that were used in other space-based anime. The whole concept of this thing is this guy, Space Dandy. He is a bounty hunter of sorts, and what his job is, essentially, is he goes out into the universe and he finds different aliens and he brings them back to this organization that catalogs these aliens. And they get returned back to their place of origin, but it's just kind of a way to better understand all the different beings that are in the universe. And at least that, so far at this point, that seems to be the ultimate goal. It turns out Space Dandy has a major villain after him. We don't know why, but there is that. One of the villain's ships is an amalgam of crazy stuff, and like the Statue of Liberty's head is a part of this ship. It's very surreal. Let's see. One of the interesting things about this is part of the trivia that's on IMDb, and I kind of noticed it, but I didn't realize the full extent of it. Every alien shown in the series is conceptualized by a different artist. As Shinichiro Watanabe intended to showcase the diversity and variety of alien species in the show. So all the different aliens that you see are drawn by different anime artists that have, you know, probably worked in different video shows, video-based shows, not manga per se, but and to give that different look to all the aliens so it's not in the same artist style.
This sounds very cool. Interesting. This sounds like a very unique show.
The interesting thing about this show, and there was an anime that a friend shared with me, and I cannot find the name of this show. I only remember part of it. It was a anime show that was kind of a tongue-in-cheek look at the different adventure genres. It was something XL. Can't remember the name of it now. But anyways, so Space Dandy is, like I said, it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek look at all these different anime styles, different shows, cramming them all together, and it's just a very weird thing that it might help if you're high, if you're watching it, or drunk.
All right.
Yeah.
Because it's like getting anime and somebody's hitting you in the head with a hammer, because it's very, very surreal at points.
So this would be good for back in the day, liquid television on MTV kind
liquid,
of.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Liquid TV, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, right after
Aeon Flux.
Aeon Flux, or what was it, The Head?
Yeah, The Head. That was really weird, too.
Yeah.
Oh, Liquid TV.
So, you might want to check. The first episode is very interesting in that the characters seem to die. The second episode, they're fine. The second episode, to me, was a little bit better than the first. There's definitely some more character building, and there was more interesting stuff going on. The first one just seemed to be over the top for the sake of being over the top.
How many episodes have there been?
Right now, on Hulu, Hulu says two are available. IMDb says that there are five.
Oh, so it's a fairly new show.
Yes, it is very new. Just came out the beginning of this year.
All right. Fabulous.
the version on Hulu, excuse me, is Japanese. It's in Japanese, and it's not like an American overdub like you get on some of the anime. If you're watching it on Hulu, and I have not watched it on Cartoon Network on Adult Swim, so I don't know if they have an American overdub that they have to offer, but...
they do.
They do, okay.
But I've heard it's crap. As far as, like, the actual dialogue goes... Because, you know, some words don't translate well into English, and there's substitutes and adjustments. I've heard some people complain about it.
All right.
So, there you go. You can watch it on Hulu in Japanese, but it's got the captioning underneath it with an English translation. So,
might want to do some acid before then.
All right.
Yeah, it might help.
All good tips. All very good tips.
Oh, and the other thing too is it's mature.
Yes,
it's
for mature audiences.
The place
there's a Hooters type restaurant and it's boobs.
It's called Boobies is the name of the place.
Nice.
And it's funny because it's kind of like the place looks like a hamburger, but the buns are boobs because they've got lights at the top and the bottom of each one blinking.
Mm-hmm.
But they're shaped like
to
boobs,
represent the
and they're flesh colored.
I'm guessing.
They represent nipples on the top and bottom.
Right. Yeah.
And then the ships park in between stuff. Yeah.
That's awesome. All right. Good job, Brad. Thank you very much. Awesome pick. Let's move on to Anessa. What do you got?
I have A Trip to the Moon.
Let's go.
Which was released in 1902. It is a silent film. You can watch it on YouTube. I didn't watch the versions that are on YouTube, but it's directed and produced and written by George Méliès. He's French.
Yeah.
So I'm not entirely sure how to pronounce
it. It's all French.
That.
The movie is all French. It was made in France.
Yeah, it's made in France, and I believe one of my coworkers mentioned something about like. The guy who produced this film kind of got screwed over by Edison, I believe, because of copyright. Like, Edison took the copyright of this film and made all the money off of it.
Yeah, Edison had his hands in everything back then. Like, everything new.
Yeah, that guy was a son of a...
basically got screwed on the deal with Edison because he didn't have any of the rights to this film, and so it got... bought by Edison and filmed across the U.S. and Edison made a bunch of money off of it. And Edison was like, you can totally sue me. And the guy was like, I don't really have the money to sue you. So he got screwed over by Edison. So anyway, the film itself, of course, like I said, is in French. It's a French silent film. And it was created in 1902. And it was inspired by various sources and whatnot. I believe some of it being works by Jules Verne. So, yeah. There are two versions that I saw. Well, I started to watch one of the versions and then I just couldn't take it, so I watched the other one on Amazon Prime. It is available to watch on YouTube for free. And there's a black and white version, and they made a colored version back in 1902. And basically what they did was they painted things frame by frame so it would be in color. Because they didn't have color film back in the day. They actually had to paint things.
I didn't know that they actually attempted color films before, like, 1930, whatever.
Well, the versions of silent films that I had seen that had, quote, color... was basically using a red filter or cyan filter. So you'd have a scene that would be in red, and then they would change to another scene, and it would be in kind of a bluish hue. But that was the only color that I had ever seen in silent films, is where they tried to just do the entire scene in, like, various shades.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only color that I had seen. But apparently they had tried to actually do a color version. I don't remember if it was exactly in 1902 when this one was released or if it was later on down the road, but they like physically colored in the frames.
Oh, wow.
And they actually lost this, and I think it was rediscovered in the 90s. Like, they actually found the remains of the colored version of this film. But a lot of it had decayed over time. It was degraded film. And so what they did was they basically tried to restore the film by scanning the frames and digitizing it. And the frames that were lost, they basically used the black and white frames that they had and basically colored those in to match the frames before and after.
Hmm.
And so there's a color version of this one. And I started watching it, and the only reason why I stopped watching it was because of the music. It was very modern music, and with silent films, I enjoy seeing them with more of the piano feel to them.
Yep.
And it just didn't quite sit right with me, so after a couple of minutes, I turned it off, and I went and I started watching the black and white version. He's basically telling this group of astronomers that, hey, I'm going to build this contraption that's going to take us to the moon and we can go explore. And people are like, you're crazy. But then five astronomers were like, okay, cool. Like, we're going to join you. So there were Nostradamus, like the names of the astronomers that joined was like Nostradamus, Alco Phoebus, Omega, Micro Omegas, and Paraferagarumus, really weird names. And they all agree to the plan. And the next scene is them basically showing this capsule being created, which looks like a bullet. And the bullet goes into a cannon and shoots them to the moon. And the moon, if anyone's ever watched The Mighty Boosh at all, maybe? No? Okay. So in The Mighty Boosh, there's the moon, and it's basically, it looks like this guy's face covered in whipped cream, and that's basically the look that they had back then for the moon. It was like a guy's face that appeared, and I think Dave just disappeared.
No, I'm here. I turned my camera off.
Okay. So basically, they had like this guy's face, and the landing of the rocket was like straight in the eye, because you know you have the man on the moon, so the rocket landed in his eyeball. It was like bullseye. And so the astronomers basically explore the moon, and they encounter these creatures that live on the moon that are called Selenites, and the Selenites are primitive, and go after the astronomers, and the astronomers have to escape, and they come back to Earth. But all in all, it's about 16 minutes long. It is entertaining, and I really like the way that it was done. It's like a really well-made stage production caught on film. Just the way that they transition from one scene to another. I think he did a really good job of that, like the flow of things. But yeah, I give it a recommendation. People should give it a view if you don't mind silent films. If you watch it on Amazon Prime, they do have voiceovers. So you're not like reading any subtitles or the black screen appears. It's just straight through. So the YouTube versions, I'm not entirely sure if they have the black dialogue boxes that appear between frames and events. So
okay. You know, I think the color version that you were talking about that was remade, I believe that was like the original film, but then they kind of shortened it or they did some other weird things with it, I believe. I could be mistaken.
I don't know if they did anything weird. The only thing that I noticed is that they colored it. They tried to restore it, and so there were frames that they had to actually manually go in and color. Although I'm sure by that point they actually like colored them in Photoshop or whatever program that they used. But the main thing that I noticed was the music, and just for silent films, it wasn't the style of music that I would have liked, and so that's why I didn't actually watch the color version. not like I watch a lot of silent films, but when I do, I like them to be your stereotypical piano or orchestra or something playing in the background.
Yeah, exactly. That makes sense. I'm with you. All right. Okay, let's move on. We got one more pick, and that's mine. And you may scratch your head on this one because I'm doing something very un-Dave-like, and I am picking a game.
So I see.
I'm picking a game. It's a board slash
card.
Yeah, it's a board slash card game. And Brad, you may have heard of this one. It's called Death Angel. Does that ring a bell?
No.
Okay. Well, it's I went to a game night at my nephew's house on Sunday, and we played three games. We played Cards Against Humanity, which was fun, a lot of fun. We played this, and then we played Munchkin. We were playing this one, and they told me, oh, yeah, you're escaping from aliens, or you're trying not to be killed by aliens. I'm like, that's my pick for this week on Alien Invasion. So here it is. It's a cooperative game where the players attempt to clean out an infestation of hostile aliens from a derelict spaceship set in the Warhammer 40,000 universe. I guess that's another game.
Warhammer 40K.
Okay, all right. Players take on the roles of space marines pitted against hordes of gene stealers. That's the kind of aliens that we're fighting against here. And it sounds very alien-ish. It sounds like we're taking on the xenomorphs from the Alien franchise. So players choose from six different combat teams, each consisting of two space marines with different abilities. Each player receives three action cards for each of his combat teams. After all the space marines have fallen into formation, prepare for the first wave of gene stealers. You guys there?
Hi.
Okay. All right. Sorry. It's just a cooperative game, and I highly recommend it. I think you would think it's loads of fun, and we'll have the link on the picks page on the store, actually, at galacticnetcasts.com. So those are our picks. All right.
Question for you, Dave.
Yes.
How long is the gameplay on average for this game?
It took us a long time. I wasn't really keeping track, but it's
like a few hours.
Yeah, it's a couple hours long. Yeah, it depends on how fast you get killed. We were lucky, and we didn't get killed, or our guys didn't get killed until the very end. So I think it lasted longer for us, actually.
But
you have to really keep track of the rules because it's very complicated and convoluted. So, all right. Before we get out of here, we got an email from a guy named Jeff from California, and he said, just wanted to say thank you guys for the amazing podcast. Well, thank you, Jeff. I just started listening a few months ago. Quick question. Are there any past shows with Stargate aliens as part of the show, mostly the creature feature? Keep up the good work.
Yes.
Jeff from California. Yes, we just did one.
Well, no. There is another.
Oh, there is.
Called, well, I knew that
was episode 40, Davinator 2000.
Davinator 2000. Okay. It was the Wraith from Stargate.
Okay. I knew there was.
That's why we have the creature featured doc to keep track of these things. And it finally paid off.
You know, you're going to have to share with me the creature featured doc because I don't have access to that, I don't think.
Sure you do.
Yeah, you do.
I do?
Yeah, it's attached to your, I almost said your personal email address.
It's attached to your personal email address.
Okay.
Yes.
So.
All right. I'll have to take a look at
it. Yeah, because I had started on it, and then Brad took off with it and finished the vast majority.
You know?
And
now that you mention it, I do remember you guys talking about starting it, but I guess I just forgot about it. Sorry.
So I haven't really updated the episode names for the past couple of ones, but I have put the creatures for this week and last week, so.
Okay. All right. So there I knew there was at least one Stargate creature feature, but I forgot which one we covered.
So now Jeff has two.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. He used the email address galacticnetcasts@gmail.com, and you can too, or you can call our voicemail and leave us an audio message at 805-328-3966. All right, that's going to do it for this Alien Invasion number 93. Thanks for joining us, and as we always do, we wrap up the show with final thoughts. So let's start with Brad.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're going to get some Asgardians showing up, so and they are technically aliens.
So I'm guessing that's going to be your pick for that week.
Probably. Most likely.
Yeah. Yeah, that show's took an interesting turn the last couple episodes, I have to say.
Yeah, and they've got an actual upcoming Marvel hero that will be having their origin.
Interesting.
On Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
All right. Is that hero going to make it into any other properties?
I don't know. I really kind of get the feeling that Disney's going to be smart, and they probably sectioned off some heroes that they really don't feel that they're going to get on the big screen necessarily, yeah. But are interesting.
But the great thing about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is that you can bring up these minor characters, like the last episode, the guy that froze things, whatever his name is.
Blizzard, yes.
Blizzard.
Yeah, that was cool. All right.
See, I pay attention. Brad explained to me whose origin story that was, and I'm like, I remember, I pay attention.
Good job. I had to look it up afterwards.
Patting myself on the head.
Good job. All right, and that leaves Anessa. What's your final thought?
I really hope I don't forget to buy tickets tomorrow for Welcome to Night Vale.
Oh, they're
boy. If you forget,
we haven't.
There's something wrong.
We haven't talked about.
I know
this.
There's something wrong with me.
We haven't talked about this on the podcast. There is a live thing with.
Yes,
they're doing a live show, right?
The folks of Welcome to Night Vale have been doing live shows mainly on, like, the East Coast and West Coast, mostly West Coast, I believe. And they're actually coming down to Texas, and then after Texas, they're going to make their way up to the Midwest, but they haven't announced what cities they're going to. And they're coming to Dallas in March, and I'm really excited. And the tickets go on sale tomorrow at noon, which I'll be at work. So I'm really hoping that I'll be, like, ready and available, and I don't get distracted and forget. Like, I want my tickets.
A reminder on your Gmail.
I should.
All right. Good luck, Anessa.
Thank you. I'll let you know how it goes next week.
All right. We'll get an update on the next episode.
I got my tickets. Woo!
All right, that's going to do it for, I said that already. This was the Alien Invasion Podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.